Okay, we're about to embark upon a whole series of sugyas. We give a little bit of Akdama on Thursday, but now we really begin. So the Gemara has a statement that we spoke about many, many times. We've called it Rabbi Shmuel's statement. We've called it Rabbi Elazar's statement. We've been in different places presented in the name of different people. But the statement rings true as follows. Shnei devarim einu b'shusa shalodom. So we're not going to focus on bar right now, we're going to focus on chametz. Chametz is an einu b'shusa shel adam. And therefore, according to all the regular rules of by Rabbi Matzei, one should never be over by Rabbi Matzei. The Yafal Gichain, the Torah trumps it and says, sorry Charlie, all your lamdas is still over by Rabbi Matzei. I'm kind of regular. So we have to go into the pre-trumping of the halacha. What would the din have been? So based on pure dinim ominous, one would not have been over by Rabbi Matzei. Based on what? So we already know back from the famine days. Then what to be over by Rabbi Matzei, it has to be shulcha. Shulcha yataraya, with a rosh lachem shal gavaya. And therefore, presumably, chametz by the mere fact that it's asav hana'a, that gufa would have qualified as lachem. And the question is, why is that? What is that all about? So before we even look at the rayas, we can break this down into a three-way chakira. Three different possibilities. What would the din have been? Why would the din have been so? If not for the asoda kof, rafa chadisha teira, why would I not have been over by Matzei? So the simplest pshat is to conclude that a dovra asabana does not belong to me. There is no mechanism of bailos on a davar asabana. Torah doesn't recognize ownership in a davar asabana, and therefore chametz falls short. It's not lachem. Finish, end of discussion. Again, a lulei chiddush ha'Torah. Or maybe no. Maybe there is no such din called that something is asabana, it's not yours. Maybe davar asabana fall into a second category. And it's a category that we've spoken a little bit about in the past. There is a concept in the dinim ominous of something that belongs to you, but not quite fully. It means your name is still on the lease, but there are some serious reservations about your degree of ownership on this item. And that's the term that the Gemara uses first and foremost in Baba Kama, the seventh parak. That's where most of the sugya appears. Shaloi ve'inu b'shusai. The Gemara discusses Gezel as being the prototype of Shaloi ve'inu b'shusai. Somebody steals my animal, I can no longer be makdish that animal. If I can't be makdish, it's still mine. Still got my name on it. If the gazer was kind of with the kinyan, with shinoi, with yush, maybe yush and reshush, shiliyush, half dozen sugyas of a karma. So the gazer owns the item, and now he has a chiyuv to pay back tashlum. So then I understand why I can't be makdish. I can't be makdish with a shali. But kol zman that hasn't happened, gezer lo nisyai shabaylam. So absolutely nothing has happened to transfer ownership to the Goslin. Why can't it be Makdish? So the emes is, Meshlochi says I can. And the emes is, there are Tanoim hold that I can. But there are other Tanoim who disagree. And for our purposes, most important, Rabbi Yechon disagrees. And we pass in the halach like Rabbi Yechon against Meshlochish. The Gezel of Yashua Bailim, notwithstanding the fact that if Shaloi, the Schadish didn't call Enu B'shusai, and Shaloi v'yena b'shuso, you can't be makdish. So could one argue that that's what the Gemara meant, that a dovra asav hana'a is not that it's not called Shaloi. Why should Isur hana'a and Isur hana'a be mafkia of the bailos of the chefetz? Maybe what the Isur hana'a creates is that unique status of Shaloi v'yena b'shuso, and therefore that unique status lulei the chiddush ha'Torah that wouldn't have sufficed to be over by Rav Matzei. Now, that second position, which is going to become a very, very popular one, because it's going to be taken, of course, by the Ketzos as the sugya develops, but that second position is really, really fraught with a lot of controversy, a lot of assumptions that are going into that position. Again, we have a lot to work on, ultimately, to clarify and to possibly, going to some at least, refute that middle position. But just some things, some food for thought, as the sugya begins to develop. What is it that makes a davar asav hana'a an einu b'shuso? Why does that equation exist? The only example we have in Chazal explicitly about Adam Shen Meshuso is Gezela. So what characteristic of Gezela carries over to the fact that something is awesome or no? One is mominous, one is Yisur. One of the worlds have to do with each other. So that means a lot of work. So in order to understand if that equation is true, which can be far from convinced that equation is true, but if that equation is true, and that's what the Gemara really means, and that's the underlying principle of Einu B'shusha Shel Adam, not the Einu Shaloi, but the Einu B'shusha. What we're basically saying is that A equals B, that Gezel equals Yisrael Noh, Yisrael Noh equals Gezel. And of course, as we said multiple times, you cannot make an equation unless you understand what the rationale of the original din was. So until we really, really fine-tune why Gezela is called the Nei Mishuso, we're never going to have a clue whether that should carry over to a Dover Osama. No, that's going to be one very, very serious point of contention in the sugya. A second wrinkle in this approach, in this second approach, is going to be just because something is in a Mishuso, why would that have qualified as a paita from my Rabbi Matzah? The parsha says, "Shalchoyet Taraya." The Torah speaks about Baywas. The Torah speaks about Lacha. If it's Nishka Lacha, this is no by Rabbi Matzah. So if you go down the first route in the sugya, the Pashas of sugya, then Yisrael Noah not called yours. There's no Baywas on it. There's no Maminis Bechlal on it. So then I understand why it would have been Mufka from by Rabbi Matzah. But if you want to tell me that Yisrael Noah are still called Lachem, but they kind of fall into the cracks, and they fall to this middle category called Einu B'shusai. So even Zilzayin, you're going to be successful by a long shot to explain why in Isser Hanah is the Halach equivalent of a Gezela to be level as Einu B'shusai. You're still going to have a lot of work to do to explain to me why was Einu B'shusai mafkia by Rabbi Matzah in the first place. So it's also going to need some work. So that's also going to be a serious, serious discussion. Rather than having all these serious discussions, you may want to throw your hands up and say, you know what, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the second pshat is not the right pshat. But we don't want to fall back on the first pshat either, because there's something funny about the first pshat. Just because something is also by no, it's not yours? Why is that? How does your day translate to become cheshem mishpat? How did that happen? Just because I can't use it, it's a cheeseburger, so it's also by no, it's not mine, and bailus for vosnet. What does cheshem mishpat depend on whether I can or cannot do something in the religious realm of law? So maybe we're nervous just to say that Yisur HaNah all of a sudden are not called yours. Maybe we want to take almost a third approach to this again. That maybe the reason why Chometz would not have been subject to Vayarav HaMotzev, not for the Chiddush HaTorah, is not a din klali and ala Yisur HaNah, but maybe there's something different about Chometz than about other Isurim. What is different about Chometz and other Isurim? So Chometz is a funny kind of an Isur, because Chometz is a davar haton ibn bin ha'olam. It's not just asab hanah. You have to get rid of it. I think we spoke once or twice this year about tashbisu. So the Torah is almost screaming at me, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. A cheeseburger, is the Torah screaming at me to get rid of? Even Orla, is the Torah screaming at me to get rid of? Not so sure. But Chometz for Pesach, the Torah shrine, Chavikayim, we got to get rid of it. So maybe when you have an Isser Hanoa that's Ton, even Min Ha'olam, maybe that's a steerer to ownership. Maybe that's the Havkof and Bailos. So just because Chometz is Eino B'shusa Shel Adam, which may mean Eino Shaloi, possibly, that doesn't necessarily translate to mean that the same is true for all Yisrael not under the sun. So, as you can really begin to see, this sugya has a lot of different directions to go. We know where we got to get to. We know the final destination is that Lulea saw the Kasa B'shusai, one would never been able to be violated by Rabbi Matzah. If not for the Chiddush HaTorah, a guy could come to the Olam Emes, like maybe Yisrael Mishal, and say to Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shem, you can't have tainas against me for owning Chometz and Pesach, because you know why? Because I didn't own it. Why didn't I own it? It's not Shali, it's not Peshitzi, it's a Tony. I'll give you a half dozen reasons why. So one of those three reasons are correct. But trumped ultimately by Bar Rav Imotzik, the Rosh Hashanah knew all your lumps. So whatever your lumps is, the Rosh Hashanah already trumped your lumps. So we have to still go back now and figure out, well, what was the lumps? What's the Chiddush HaTorah? By a honey lump by Rav Imotzik. If the Hiddigah, I remember, Bishmal, the Tanner, Bishmal, Balaz, are telling us, Shnei Dvam Ein B'shis Shel Adam, it behooves us to understand what that model was. What is it about the Chiddush HaTorah by Rav Imotzik? Why? Based on plain Dinim Mamnes, would I have been exempt? So we have to go really back and analyze step by step each one of these three approaches. We'll try to be the Chachman Perkei Avos, got the first one first. So let's think about this for a moment. The Davar Asavano. Do you own the Davar Asavano? No. How would you even know the answer to that question? It's Asavano. Okay, so how would I know whether I own it or not? So the Chor, a good place to go would be to check other areas of Halacha, which also focus on Bailus, also emphasize Bailus, and see, would a Davar HaAsavano qualify as something that requires Bailus? So you start to, you know, the wheels start to turn in your mind, trying to think, well, what other areas of Halacha require Bailus? So you start to go through Shas Brachas, Birchas HaMazon, and Kriya Shema too. Doesn't it sound like Bailus? Shabbos? You know, Shisas Behemi, you're going to tell me? She says, Caleb, Bishabi, come on. So come on, give me some violence. Here, man. Sochem, it's Emerson.
Dalin Minim?
No, but a good guess. Excellent guess. Okay, Dalin Minim, why not? All right? So Dalin Minim, we know. Kachta, Machem, Bayam, Arishon. You need violence. It's got to be Shaloi, first mission therapy of Sukkah. So now let's ask ourselves, what would it didn't be if one of the Dalin Minim, by golly, happened to be Asabano? But that suffice for the mitzvah of the Alamir Manat, and what conclusion could we draw? So the Chor, whatever the answer there is going to be, is going to shed a tremendous light on our Sugya Psoch. So the problem with using the Alaminim as a source is that we know what the din is, but we don't know why the din is true. And as we quoted the Rashi Mishpatim multiple times, unless you really understand why a din is true, it is impossible to extrapolate to other areas of Allah. So what do we know and what don't we know? So we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that an Esrog Shel Orla is possible for Dalamim. That's a fact. That's not negotiable. An Esrog for the first 3 years is also finished. Possible for Dalamim. And the question is why? What exactly is the problem? So the Gemara gives a very, very vague reason, very ambiguous reason, as to why it's possible. There's no question, no one argues that it's possible in a Torah. Why it's possible in a Torah? The Gemara uses a very, very ambiguous phrase. Eimay din achila, eimay hetar achila. Since you can't eat it, therefore you can't be yotzei dalamin with it. So, I can't eat it. I don't want to eat it, so I won't make it into esrog jelly afterwards. Most of the time it doesn't taste so good in the esrog jelly. So I'm not going to make it into the esrog jelly. I'm not going to make it to esrog liquor. I want to be yotzei dalaminim. What do I have to eat it for? Why does it have an OU kosher on it? I don't want to eat it. I want to be yotzei dalaminim. What's the problem? What's the problem? So this was a major machlekes rishayim. What exactly is the problem? Wherein lies the psul of ein behetar achila? So the Ritva, and some people are already probably scratching their head, did the Rabbi Shalosky say the Ritva? He meant to say who? You meant to say the Rashba, right? Didn't you read the Tzot, right? Didn't I mean to say the Rashba? No, I didn't mean to say the Rashba. Because the Chiddush HaRidva and Masech HaSukkah actually were written by the Ritva. They were actually not written by the Rashba. Why is that important to note? Because that piece of information was not known for quite some time. For quite some time, there was a mistake in the old Kisvei Yad of the Ritva, and it was assumed for many, many years to have been written by the Rashba. And then in the later years, so the later Gedalia Acharonim realized that it was a mistake. But it was the Ritva, not the Rashba. So Baruch Hashem, Me'amar Mekoymes, it's number three, it's Ritva Tzukadaf Lamed Hamed Aleph. But if I would have been saying this year 150 years ago, so I probably would have had, I don't know if I would have typed my Mekoymes, but I probably would have assigned to you, I don't know if you ever would have to find one, I would have assigned the Rashba, because it was always printed traditionally in the Chiddush HaRashba, because it was assumed for hundreds of years to belong to the Rashba. And the Rashba writ for one generation, was such a big difference. They were both Tehillah Gitamidim for the Ramban from that period of time. The Rashba was the next generation, which was two generations later. It was all the same basic Kufa, same Spain, same place. But different people, different personalities, different Gedalia, different Gedalia Bishayna. So if I would have said the Shia back in the 1800s, I would have for sure quoted by the Chiddush HaRashba, and a mistake. I mean, it was a mistake, but it's understandable, it's a justifiable mistake. You're to blame the Gedalia Acharon for. So one of the Gedalia Acharon who was not privy to this piece of information was who? It was the Ketzais. I can't blame him. Nobody in the early 1800s knew this. Later on, they realized all of a sudden, they started comparing Kisviyah. They realized it was a mistake. It's not the first time. It's not the only Rishon that we goofed in terms of who wrote it. For many, many years, the Sefer Chinuch was assumed to be written by the Ra'ah, and it's almost certainly not written by the Ra'ah. In other Chiddush Aran and Masech Shabbos, that for many years were assumed to be the Chiddush Aran, but not the Chiddush Aran, by somebody else, we're not sure who they're written by. So you have this, everyone's about Rabbi Chaim Wasserman has an introduction to one of the Svarim. There's a whole list of different Rishonim who got mislabeled along the way. Okay? The world's not going to come to an end. So 99% of the time it doesn't make much of a difference. The only time it makes a difference is if you start to find another shita that appears by that Rishon somewhere else that contradicts it. So then you start to make a Hoshe Torah, but the Hoshe Torah may not be necessary if you have the wrong person. So it is important to know who said what. So we're going to call it correctly the Chiddush HaRitva for now, but we're going to see why it may come to haunt us later, those who didn't know that it was a ritva. So the Ritva Maseches Sukkah quotes a machlekes that he had with the Ravid about this very nekuda. What is the problem? What happened over here? Yeah. So the Ritva writes at the bottom of the third of my Mekomis, Pirush HaRavid, Dvarim Kipshutot, Shu'asim Yachiv L'Kamina Be'Lachem. So the Ritva says that the problem is that it's not called Lachem. So Imbahet Rachila is a very poetic, very dramatic way of describing. It's not called Lachem. You can't eat it. How come it's Lachem? Lachem means Lachem, Lachot Tzarcheichem, things you're going to eat. I can't even eat it if I want to. What's for Lachem? So he stayed in Raivim. So the Ritva says he doesn't believe that that's the right Pshat. The Ritva says, V'su devade komine d'havi d'idei b'shu se d'leis b'schus Lachem, Lachem karina bay. Says the Ritva, I am not questioning that you are not permitted to eat this Esrach Shalot. But I do not think that Esrach Achiva, that Esrach Hanah for that matter, impacts on whether it's Lachem. Lachem is Cheshimish, but not Yeredeya. Lachem depends on very simple. Does it belong to somebody else? Did it grow in my tree in my backyard? Yes. Did I sell it to somebody else? No. Did I give it to somebody else? Did I mask it? No. If nothing happened to change ownership, then it's mine. It's blight my answer. It's us about no. That's a problem between me and your idea. But that doesn't impact the Chesh Mishpat. So very Yisrael stick about like is the Ravid and the Ritva. Of course, what did the Ritva not explain? So what's Shreli Gemara? So I thought I put more than Ritva than my Mekomis. Maybe we got gypped off, or maybe it was my mistake. But there's obviously a missing piece here. According to the Ritva, what is the problem with the Ezra? Do you have any ideas?
Gotcha.
What?
It's like Kishus Tenashtashire.
Oh, so the Ritva makes reference to another Gemara. But the Gemara talks also about Dalan Minim, but not about an Esek, but a Lulav. The Gemara says, what if we have a Lulav from an Asheira tree? Or what if we have a Lulav from a tree that belonged to a city near Nidachas? Which is Ton Serefa, but Zara Ton Serefa, Asheva Ton Serefa. So Gemara says, I can't be Yaitse the Mitzvah Dalav Minim with such a lulav. You know why? Kesuse Mechta Shire. Something that's Eimed Lekach the Serefa, I can't say with a straight face that as a shear of a cheftz of an item. Once it's Eimed the Serefa, it's like a pile of ashes. And as a pile of ashes, that Mitzruf Yachin is one Cheftza. This is not a lulav, there's a pile of ashes in front of me. I, to the non-halachic trained mind, non-halachic trained eye, it looks like a palm tree, it looks like a branch of a palm tree. But you have to look at the world to tear into glasses, yeshivish to your glasses. You have to look at the world and say, this is not a lulav anymore. This is a pile of ashes. Rabbi, who are you kidding? Azadin, kolam edesuktam, kisaraf nami, skilu it's ashes, skisizim at the shira. And therefore, I don't have to shear the lulav. And the din is, the lulav has to be a certain size. So whenever there's a din that you require a shear, if it's a chetzit, it's aimed the sreifa, it's chalba the din, kisizim at the shira. Did we talk about kisizim at the shira this year yet? I don't remember. We didn't talk about it this year, right? We did. When did we talk about it? I don't remember. When? I don't remember anymore. Beginning, wait, where else? Back in El. Oh, that was back in my Torah days in El. It doesn't count. Okay. Fine. Ready to hold my Purim. That was pre-Rosh Hashanah. So comes the Ritva and says, just as the Gemara says, you can't be Yetzeh, but a lulav shalash eirach, says Tusimech Tashirei. Who a dinami, you can't be Yetzeh with an Esek Shalorla. Also, it's also about the Shreif. All this bitterness are often says ksusim mech tashirei. That's the reason why you can't be yitzi. That's the emissary. And so you have a major machlekes here that's developing, really a dual machlekes between the Rabbin and the Ritva. We have one machlekes that's impacting directly on our sugya, and then we have a somewhat of a tangential machlekes as well. They're impacting directly on our sugya is there a klal gadol in the imaminis davar osmano is not shaykh ta'om, it's not lochem. The Ravid says, unequivocally, it's not Lachem. And that's Pshat in the Gemara. And the Ritva says, I never heard of such a thing. Something Ritva called the Midi Davidi Debishus of Elais Pitzchus Lachem Lachem Karinamei. But what's that? Why is it not called Lachem? And then you have a secondary Machlekes. The Ritva is forced to find a reason why you're not Yaitzeh. So he had to make up and borrow and steal a reason from another Sugya. And he plugged in the Psul of Ksisim Bech Tashir, they did Ksisim Bech Tashir into Esrik Shal Orla. And presumably the Ravid doesn't accept that. Because in the fact that the Ravid had to go run to come up with a new reason of Lachem, Vais says that the reason the Ritva gave was not really correct. So we have a double Machlekes here. We have Machlekes in Hanbi Magdi Lachem, and we have a Machlekes as to the parameters, the extensions of the rules of Sismet Sharia. So the Ritva says that the phrase Ein Bahet Rachila is a code phrase for saying you can't eat it because you have to burn it. So it's just a description of the facts. It's very, very dramatic. Bein lefi arayva, bein lefi arayva. The Gemara doesn't really say what it's supposed to be saying. The Gemara uses this very, very vague phrase called Ein Bahet Rachila, which is either a poetic way of describing that it's asa banoa, and therefore it's not lochem, or it's a poetic way of describing it's told sreifa, and therefore it's kusim of teshura. Neither way does the Gemara exactly say what the psul is. Bein lefi arayva, bein lefi arayva. So we have a dual machlokes here, two very, very important machlokes. One, the heart and soul of our sugya, and one, the tangential issue about Tzusim Echtashiri. So let's see if we could just kind of almost take care of the tangential part first, before we come back to the main thrust of our sugya. So the Chayyim of Ritva is right. The Ritva didn't make up Tzusim Echtashiri. The Ritva simply borrowed it from a pre-existing halacha of Lulav Shalasher, where it appears in the Gemara, and plugged it into Esrega Shalom. What's the difference? Does it also matter? Does it also matter? Does it chiyus reifa? Does it chiyus reifa? The real pell is on the right. The real pell is on the right in that why do I have to go fishing and go searching for another reason which is hardly controversial? The right that I turn the world upside down and say, sir, I don't belong to you. What's wrong with the reason? Oh, she's mentioned. She's mentioned a good reason to shun. We have precedent for that reason already. Why did the rabbit have to change the name of the game and come up with a different reason? Lest you think that who cares what the reason is, it's possible anyway, so this is just stam academics. No, there's a very important difference to halacha, what the reason is. Why? It's a big enough kibbutz ladina, huge enough kibbutz ladina. Who cares? Inuchas lula, it's a big enough kibbutz. What do you mean, Masechah Sukkah? What's the big enough kibbutz?
You're yotzei b'diavad?
You're not yotzei b'diavad, either pshat. If it's chosid ashiya, you're not yotzei b'diavad, if it's not lachem, you're not yotzei b'diavad. Who knows some of the intricacies of Huchus Dal and Minim to know? After the first day. Only on the first day is the Absul Lachem, that's in the Farishi Gemara. After the first day, leaving out the first 2 days of Huchus Batzi, days of Chalamayid, there's no din of Lachem. But you still have to take a lulav. In Esrog, it's got to be a shear. If I take a lulav that's shorter than the shear, but yet even after the first day, it's not a cheftah for a lulav. And so if the din is only based on lachem, like the Ravid's learning, and there is no din excuse for shuv, some deep dark secret, then presumably after the first day it's going to be okay. If it's based on the Ritva, that's just about sure it's going to be a problem even after the first day. Now, even within that statement that I just said, that after the first day everything is hunky-dory, there is a big machlekes of Rishonim, what does after the first day mean? So there are many Rishonim say that after the first day means, after the first day, chutz l'miktosh. The Mishnah says in the third parak of Masechet Sukkah that min haTorah, the tilus lulav is two parts. Min haTorah, it's the first day, no matter where you are. And then the mikdash is the entire week. Kol shiva lulav, kol shiva. The mikdash is smachta b'feshem achem shivz yom. The achash shachar b'se mikdash, he's kibbe b'yechem zaka, she lulav nitol kol shiva zeichel mikdash. After the base mikdash was destroyed, b'yechem zaka was misak and zeichel mikdash to take it the whole week. So many Rishonim hold that when the Gemara is discussing, in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, the Gemara makes a blanket statement, after the first day, everything's okay, lachem is not a problem. So Tosfos writes, what does it mean lachem is not a problem? Because it's only derabanan anyway. We're only talking about the chanas of Yechem and Zach. We're not talking about the deraistic bits of Mikdash. We're talking about the chanas of Yechem and Zachai. So if it's the chanas of Yechem and Zachai, lachem is not so serious, not so terrible. Certain dinim do carry over after the first day, the derabanan, and some don't. So lachem is almost like tangential. It's not really part of the mitzvah anyway. It's not really an integral part of the definition of the chetz of dal minim. So it's just a zaitik and din, a tangential din that was tacked on min haTorah of lachem on the first day. So when Chazal Misaki and Lulav Kol Shiva, they didn't extend it to include that psul. That's what Taisus learns. But Lo Yitzuyu, we would be talking about Lulav B'Mikdash, Kol Shiva, if you live Bizman HaMikdash. Or the Rambam seems to say that if you live in Yerushalayim, even Bizman HaZeh, Halach Yerushalayim, it could be there's a mitzvah of Mikdash Kol Shiva. So according to the deraistic bits of Kol Shiva, then the Lulav has to belong to you, says Taisus. It's got to be Ma'ash Lachem. Why not? Lachem is a din derais. So Lachem is going on everything, either the first day or the whole week. The only time the Gemara says you can be Meichel Zayim and Mevater Lachem is only when we're dealing with the derabon and the kibitzim. Some people are not so careful about that. Some people, they shake lulav in the morning. I don't know, they're living in wherever they're in Harnof, they shake lulav in Esrog. Then they come to the kosel later in the day. So many have that chumrah that they shake the second time around without a bracha, in deference to the view of the Rambam. Rashi says the mikdash means mamash b'se mikdash, but the Rambam writes, in Perash Mishnayis, it means all of halachic Yerushalayim. So the guy standing by the kosel is in halachic Yerushalayim. Standing in Harnof, he's not halachic Yerushalayim, but he's standing by the kosel. Maybe halachic Yerushalayim for laying the Megillah as well, but in terms of the real din of Alts Mikdash, so you have to be much closer to the Mikdash itself. So the guy standing by the Kaisel on the third day of Chalamahid, so the Aruch HaNer has a Chumrah that you should really make sure to be Yaitseh with all the Deraises, all the Kulas and Kutsim and Shitas and things that we rely on after the first day for Mitzvahs Derabbanan of Dalaminim. So if you happen to be in Yerushalayim in the old city, you should try to make that Dalaminim that's kosher with all the standards of Deraises. So according to this Taisus and Sukkah, you should make sure you own it also. So a lot of people don't want to schlep, they want to take the bus and walk around the lulav all day. So they come, they borrow from the Chabad guy, they borrow from a guy in the Mezakai, so they grab somebody else's lulav and Esrog. So according to this Taisus, you should make sure to do it in Matan Ras L'Hachzer, because there's a din of Lachem, the Mikdash, and there's a Chashash of Mikdash. So other Mishnah disagree with this Taisus. The Rambam seems to say that in Mikdash you don't need Lachem. After the first day, b'mikdash, you don't need lachem. Why? So the Rambam seems to hold that the mitzvah of lulav b'mikdash is not really a mitzvah of lulav. There are really two different parts of lulav. There's a mitzvah that tilas dalad minim, ulkach chameyam erishon, and then there's a separate din of smachta b'fnei Hashem lakech b'shivas yomim. There's a mitzvah simcha b'mikdash. So how do you do simcha? So let's say, with other regalims, you do simcha b'basav yayin. Otherwise, the other mechanism of simcha. So here the Torah says, the simchas achag b'mikdash has to be done through the vehicle of a dal minim. So it's not a mitzvah that tilas dal minim. It's a mitzvah simchas hamikdash. It's done using the dal minim. It's not pashup shal the psukim. So if that's the case, as Rav Zsolti points out, as Mishnas Yavetz, if that's the case, then it doesn't make any sense to require lachem. You have to have dal minim because otherwise you're not using the mechanism. It's like I'm going to be yotzei simcha without my basmi yayin. No, you have to use dafka this method. But who says you have to own the dal minim? The ownership of dal minim is a prop in the mitzvah's dal minim. So when you're being yotzei b'yom harishon, that's a din of lachach lachem b'yom harishon. There's a din of lachem, but there is no din of lachem after the first day, even by mikdash according to the Rambam. There would be a limit chus and the people who, when they go to the Kaisel, they don't bother bringing their own Lulavim, they borrow, because the only thing you say is around anyway. It's only the Rambam's Chiddush that you have to do, treat your Shalayim like Mikdash. According to Rashi, you're not in the Mekam Mikdash anyway, the whole thing doesn't exist. So according to the Rambam, the same Rambam who holds that you have to do the mitzvah, he's the one who probably says you don't need a Dir Lachem. So that's the limit chus and all the people who don't carry their own Lulavim with them. Fine. Yeah. The Ravid says it's not called Lachem, yeah.
Why are you saying that we're able to transfer that to other
meaning?
It seems to
be
that
Rashi
saying that specifically for
Lachem. No, it's not called Lachem. Whenever the Torah requires bailus, Lachem. Lachem means it has to be totally yours.
Not
I don't think so. So getting back to the story. So again, so it's important for us to know what the psul of an Esrog Shel Orla is. If it's only a din of Lachem, so then one can negotiate after the first day. If it's a din of chesus of esheshur, then it's commander lace doesn't exist. Of course, it's possible the entire week. So talking back to hundred kushlut, that was just an aside. So back to the original question. So why did the Ravid steer away from chesus of esheshur? What was missing about chesus of esheshur? Oh, so this is an old throwback to our old days of Taisus Maseches Tamura with the Rashi, Tamura with the Rebbe Kivega, with the Chasam Sofer. When we speak about dvar mishatukim sreifa, like oral is men on a serafim. What's made men on a serafim? So you do a first of Achilles Rashi and Taisus Maseches Tamura. So Taisus writes, why are calling a serafim not for mutter? I want you to know that already, because Nasa's mitzvah say. There's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. So obviously, Taisus understood that oral, like, they care about the drum, and it's on his serafim. There's a mitzvah serafim. There's a chayvah serafim. But Rashi and Tamur doesn't seem to say that. Rashi and Tamur writes that when the Gemara says, call on his serafim, like Bayru, so Rashi says, I'll give you a new reason why. You know why? Because if you're going to be kaiver, someone's going to dig it up and find they're going to use it. So, Frank, if you can make it, that's why he's Babylon Rashi. What do you need? There's a chashash, there's a bonnet, the color, someone's going to dig it up. Hold on, Nikbarin, call this rough and like Bayrou because you're Mavata Bakach with the Srefa. Do what Chassam Sofer, Kivega's son in law, what did he answer? What did Chassam Sofer answer? He said, there's no mitzvah. Chassam Sofer, there never was a mitzvah. This rough never meant the mitzvah, this rough meant the head there. If you say it, then you can use the Afer. But there never was a Chavis Srefa in the Chal. We spoke about this many, many times already, right? A few times. So the Chari, that's the Kudus of Achleikus, the Ritva and the Ravid. The Ritva who borrowed the principle of Vayashay, right near Nidachas, a lulav is Kuzmechter. Vayashay, there's not Zichin as Mitzvah Sreifa. Kulit Amulit Pligit is a Mitzvah Esamid, the Rais, and Miserifit. It's not just a Heter. Forget, there is no Heter. Efer Hanis Rof, Efer Asher, and Efer Nidachas Tacha Osa. It's an exception to the rule of Konis Rof and Efer and Motu. So by Asher, by Nidachas, a Zichin, Vada, Vada, it's a Mitzvah Sreifa. We spoke about a couple of years ago, we had that wonderful opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah de Raisa Shreifa Sashera, because we had some guy who was bowed down to his tree. So we were mamish chapterai in the mitzvah de Raisa Shreifa Sashera. There was a zikha mitzvah de Raisa. No shine, no suffering, it was a mitzvah de Raisa Shreifa Sashera. I told over we had a beautiful opportunity at the time to fulfill that mitzvah and to hear words of inspiration for Rabbi Yudin Shlita. Yudin was a senior rav president of Shreifa Sashera, so we were mechabed him to give the drasha, to give the sermon about the significance of Atzav Srefas Asi Asherah. And he began by highlighting the fact that he's been the Rabbonus for over 50 years. He's spoken at every possible life cycle event. And he has never ever spoken to Srefas Asherah. But he gave a beautiful, you know, we need SR for this one. It's a company wrong. They still have SRs? No? And they call something else. The Smicha Gnez on Friday, what do they call them now? What? What do they call the Smicha Gnez on Friday mornings? What? RTP? What does that stand for? Rabbinic Training Program? Okay, it used to be called Supplementary Rabbinics. So it was a little SRs in my day. So, you don't need an SR course to figure out even a drasha on about a Shreif Sashir. You gotta just use your imagination. So he gave a beautiful drasha about Bira and Zara and Gaiva and anger and all that. But Zara is inside us. We have to be Sarif and Navar. Beautiful. Kibbalat Deas Hashem. Beautiful drasha all about Shreif Sashir. So Gavala give it to their eyes, so it's a Shefer. Good, wonderful. So according to many, that mitzvah only applies to other Shevers and Yirnidachas. We couldn't get our hands on any Yirnidachas. We tried, but we couldn't. So maybe that's the Nekudas Machlokes, the Rabbi and the Ritva. That the Ritva is borrowing that concept of Ksusim Echtshura from a Sheira and Yeridachas and plugging into Orla. He's assuming like Taisus, assuming like Rabbi Kivagan, it's a real mitzvah Sreifa. And therefore Ksusim Echtshura, whereas according to others, according to the Rabbi, there is no mitzvah Sreifa. Ksusim Echtshura means something that's going to be Nisra if you're going to be Sayyid, so you have to be Sayyid. If it does, it's Ksusim Echtshura. Something you don't have to be Sayyid in the first place. What's about Ksusim Echtshura? So maybe that's the Nekudas Machlokes, the Rabbi and the Ritva. So the Yemen says, if you take a look at the Ritva, those have a chance. I'm sorry that I only put on a couple of lines. Take a look at the Ritva and Sukkah, you'll come to the quick realization that the Ritva himself goes one step further. The Ritva says, Fakir, the Ritva says, the Farish, like Rashi and the Chassam Sofer, that there's no mitzvah Sreifa on Orla. And he says, even though there's no mitzvah Sreifa on Orla, Afa Bichain is Tusimach Bashir. Why? He says, in order to be Tusimach Bashir, you don't need a Chavis Sreifa. You need a dark Makafas Reifa. What do people do with it all in Kilakem? The answer is they burn it. Why do they burn it? Because nothing else can do with it anyway. And they want to use the Yesha, so it's over the Kachas Reifa. So the Ritva writes, for the purposes of invoking the Din of Ksusim Echtshura, you don't need a Chavis Reifa. Even a Ime the Kachas Reifa is sufficient. So at the end of the day, the Ravid for sure holds there's no Chavis Reifa. And the Ravid holds that the Din, the engine that's driving Ksusim Echtshura, is Chavis Reifa. And therefore the Chavis Reifa doesn't exist by Orla. And therefore the Ravid goes fishing for another reason. The Ritva could have held there is a Chavis Reifa, but he happens not to. He holds that even though there is no Chavis Reifa, it's the Ime the Kachas Reifa that's the engine that's driving Ksusim Echtshura, and that's enough to kick in the Din of Ksusim Echtshura. And therefore there's no need to come on to Einish Eloi, which is not incorrect, says the Ritva. So when all the dust settles, we talked about the tangential part of the Machlokes, the Ravid, the part that doesn't impact the Hasugya. It's an interesting Machlokes. If you're interested, you can take a look at the Ravid in his Hasugyas on the back of the Rif, where he disagrees with what he says here. The Ritva quotes the Ravid to say one thing, and we have another version of the Ravid that says something different. But that's ready for advanced reading of the Sugya. For our purposes, we have a double Machlokes. And the first part was important, was interesting, but it's not really the thrust of Hasugya. The real thrust of Hasugya is the other half of the Machlokes. The Ravid and the Ritva. That the Ravid but gezogt that Yisrael are not yours, and the Ritva says Yisrael are 1,000% yours. As long as they don't belong to somebody else, you still retain ownership of it. So comes the Hilchos Ketzayis of Tavav, one of the most famous Ketzayis of Tavav Sukkotin days. And the Ketzayis says, I don't understand. How can anybody say that Yisrael are not belong to you? How are you talking? The Gemara says black on white on Vav and Beis Shnei Devarim Ein a Besishah Shel Adam, and that is the reason why you can't be Mevatel Chometz after the Zman HaIsser, which probably means because it's Hefker. Again, hopefully that's going to be a whole another sugya. It's going to be the next part. It's our major five unit discussion. But the Gemara says that once he gives Zman HaIsser, the game's over because it's Ein a Besishah Shel Adam. It's b'shus chason, b'shus chalav by Rabbi Matzai, but all regular rules of the Din of Avodas now kick in, and you can't be mafkir what you don't know. So if the Gemara says black on white that you can't be mafkir chometz to the Zayin of b'shusai, the Gemara is saying that he's no, not yours, finished. To which the Ketzai says, no, it's not. The Ritva would never say such a thing. According to the Ritva, belongs to you. So how would the Ritva learn Agamara, says the Ketzayis? Well, the Ketzayis said, how would the Rashba learn Agamara? But it's real, the Ritva. How would the Ritva learn Agamara, says the Ketzayis? Not the first path, to say that Yisrael Noah not yours, but rather the second path, the middle path. Yisrael Noah are yours, b'yafa b'chein, b'yashaloi v'eino b'shuso. And as shaloi v'eino b'shuso, all bets are off. Because the Gemara says Beferish and Seren Pekah Bava Kama, somebody that Shalov Yehne B'Shuso, you can't be Makdish. And then the Gemara says, and you can't be Mafkir. And according to many Rishayim, say you can't be Moichel. According to many Rishayim, you can't be Naisim Baratana. All abilities to transfer ownership on Adavish Yehne B'Shuso are null and void. That's the parsha that exists. That's the din of Shalov Yehne B'Shuso. Says the Ketzayis B'Dasa Ritva, Chometz B'Pesach. Or for that matter, all other Yisrael Yana, fall into that category of Shalov and Bishusa. Now, we have two challenges that we started off with the beginning of the Sugya. Is that comparison correct? What characteristic about gezeila, being shalavi to bishuso, is present that compares it, makes it analogous to isuria no? So we can't understand the equation unless we understand what is it about gezeila that makes it bishuso. What makes it bishuso tick? And even if we figure out somehow that chametz does meet the qualifications to begin a bishuso, why was Enem Yisrael p'tur from Rabbi Matan? Why do you need a sort of kaskin b'shusah? If it's shaloi, the only potter that I know of by Rabbi Matan is shalchoyet arayet. But if you're going down the route of the Ritva, and the Ketais is a big, big, big support of this Rashba slash Ritva, that the mafkiyah of chametz is not a mafkiyah in violence, it's a mafkiyah of b'shusah. Why is lacking reshuso, all of a sudden, make you eligible for p'tur by Rabbi Matzah? So we have a lot of things to analyze. One thing we've seen is that according to the Raivet, our Gemara is Kipshuta. It's Eina Shaloi, it's not yours, it's not Shalcha, it's not by Rabbi Matzah, Shalcha et Arav, according to the Raivet, the Gemara reads like a charm. According to the Ritva, the Gemara is very, very difficult. It needs a lot of work, and the Ketos is the one who comes to the rescue. Hopefully it's from tomorrow. We have to pick up from this Ketos. I'm sorry, I have to end Shia a little bit early today also, so guys could still learn or not Mincha, whatever the next plan is. If you guys want to, I have to leave now, if you guys want to have Mincha now, and then continue to, what time is Mincha? Mincha is, oh, not till 12:40, I'm sorry. It's also 12:10. So you could still learn till 12:40, you could have Mincha then if you want, whatever you guys want to do, and then hopefully it's from tomorrow, we'll pick up from this Ketos.